This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
This is Open for Business on BFM 89.9. I'm Christine Wong, and we are gearing up for our annual retail conference, Enterprise Rocks. This year, it's happening on the 14th of March at Connection at Nexus Bangsar South. And for more information, you can go to bfm.my/rocks and also to buy some tickets there as well. However, leading on from that, if you didn't get a chance to attend last year's Rocks, today we're listening to the second of three Rocks Rewind shows, where we air panel highlights from Enterprise Rocks 2018. Last week, we heard Frida speak to Annabelle Komartinen, Sheikh Mansoor Ghani, and Ganesh Kumar Banga all about data analytics. But this week, we're hearing our very own Audrey Raj speak to Sarah Lian of Supergood, Manisha Jay of M-Talent, and Jonathan Davies of GetCraft Malaysia. And they'll be talking about endorsements, KOLs, and celebrities. Do we need them more than ever? So let's hear what Audrey's first question is.
So just before I came up on stage, during lunch, I bumped into a friend, and she said, aren't people jaded when it comes to influencers? Can you really trust influencers? Is it a fad? What do you guys think? And why do retailers and small business owners, why do they need influencer marketing?
We're just beginning for influence marketing, actually. And it's been around for a long time. Maybe the term is quite new, but using people of influence and celebrities have been around for a really long time. For example, endorsements. So if you take Tiger Woods, and he endorses many golf clubs and sports equipment, or Nike, they use world-class athletes as endorsers for their brand. So influencer marketing is maybe a version of that, and something that a lot of brands now can also jump on board and use to their importance and part of their campaign. They don't have to fork out millions of dollars to get world-class athletes, but also looking at how key opinion leaders and influencers within their region or area or even just nearby demographic can be used to their campaign and products.
Yeah, just to add on to that, I think we have to look at technology itself. You know, we've got YouTube stars, we've got social media stars. Like what Manisha said, it's basically a microcosm of what has actually been happening for a very long time. In addition to that, I feel that with influencer marketing, people subscribe to them. You know, I'm sure if any of you are on social media, you've got the people that you like to follow, whether it's celebrities, whether it's athletes, whether it is entrepreneurs or motivational speakers. You know what they're doing, you know where they're at, you know what they're eating, where they're holidaying, or just anything like that. And I think because of that subscription that you choose to follow them, I think that's where influencers penetrate, where a lot of advertisers can't.
We've heard a lot today about how digital is changing things, but digital has actually changed the way we market. A lot of you guys are starting businesses. How are you actually going to tell people about your business? How are you going to market your business to your potential customers? And really with influencer marketing and why it's not a fad, or at least it's not a fad just yet, is you need to find the places where your customers are. And thought leaders are actually a vehicle for you to do that. It can be Tiger Woods, although I think he's quite expensive, but it can also be sort of more localized people. So actually finding thought leaders here in Malaysia, actually finding them, connecting with them, working with them, and getting them to be your brand spokesperson, getting them to speak on your behalf. So it's really a battle for eyeballs. We used to be very easy for us to market here in Malaysia. Put an advert on TV Tigar, advertise in the Straits Times, and you're hitting the whole of Malaysia. Now we have to be smarter. Digital has changed that. We now have to go out there and we need to find where people are. What are people consuming? What are people watching? What are the people reading? And right now, they're on Instagram, they're on YouTube, they're online, and they're following these influencers. So we need to find them and engage with them and get them to speak on our brand's behalf, create organic content that actually resonates. We've heard a lot about stories today, creating stories. Influencer marketing is actually a way for you to create and tell a story.
Yeah, I think just to also cap it off, when Jonathan mentioned about stories, it's really interesting how influencers can tie your brand story and intertwine it with theirs. Because why do people follow influencers? And why, probably when you wake up in the morning, the first three things that you do when you check your phone is open a social media account and check out what your favorite person is doing, because you're interested in their story. Imagine your brand as part of their story. I think that's what is also really powerful about influencer marketing.
Does influencer marketing work for everyone?
Yes, and the short answer to that is yes. I think when you're a small business owner, when you're a mum and pop shop, finding the people who are actually resonating with your audience. Is there someone in the local community who's actually a thought leader? So there is always going to be somebody who can speak on your behalf. You know, there's a reason we write case studies when we're going out and we're talking to clients. Case studies are a very good way of us saying, look, trust us, we do good work. Engaging with an influencer gives you that level of trust. So whoever you are, finding that person who's actually going to be able to say, yeah, you're good, I like you, and getting a bit of that trust. So it doesn't really matter about size.
What's the pushback here? Why is it that people are just not sold on influencer marketing, especially the small businesses? What's the problem?
So I would say it's accessibility. How do you find influencers to work to you is one of the biggest barriers. It's not that easy to connect with them. Who's out there who's going to be a good person to speak to you? Actually finding the right person. I think the other one is probably one about cost. I'm pretty sure, and because I get it all the time, how much does it cost to do influencer marketing? And I don't think here in Malaysia yet we have a very clear idea about that. I don't think brands know how much it costs. And if you don't know how much it costs, it's very difficult for you to actually go and do it. So that's for me is sort of the biggest obstacle.
I think just to add to that, there's a perceived value when it comes to influencer marketing and a certain level of expectation of what influencer marketing will do for your company or for your marketing budget. And because there is such a wide spectrum of prices, you know, you have somebody that maybe has 100,000 following and they're paying this much, and someone that has 20,000 and they're paying so, and you're paying so much more, and you're thinking, you're like, how do I justify this, you know, and what is my return going to be? And so, I mean, for me, I have worked with a few SMEs and they have sort of pitched and they said, listen, this is the first time we're doing this, we're not putting our money into a billboard, we're putting it into her, one of your talents. And I have to explain to them that she's not your savior. She's not going to be able to do everything you want her to do or give you everything that you want, but she's going to be able to penetrate in different ways. She's going to be able to cultivate or personify your brand in a way that maybe you haven't been able to, putting all your 100 flyers everywhere else. And so I think it's just understanding the value of the influencer and what their role is in your entire marketing campaign, not just in that itself.
To add on to Sarah as well, I think what's really important when a campaign is put together, part of the whole objective of your marketing campaign, and if you want to include influencer marketing in it, what needs to be understood is the objective. Like, what would you like to achieve at the end of the campaign once you engage with an influencer? Is it for brand awareness? Is it for conversion? Is it to basically link up brand partnerships, you know? So it could be for many reasons, and I think identifying the key objective of why you would like to engage an influencer is also something that probably not a lot of people take a step into right now. I think like what Jonathan also mentioned, like on accessibility, you know, some people, there's a perceived notion that, okay, it's really hard to reach influencers. I guess that's why we are all here and running our agencies and working with these influencers and talent, because we see immense potential in where the industry is going to go ahead. Also, with it being so, because people are also used to traditional forms of marketing, that's the first thing that comes in mind. TV, radio, television, you know, that's the first things that come to mind when you think about marketing. So influence marketing here in Malaysia might be still new, but it's actually more accessible than many people think.
Thanks for that insight, Manisha. Now it's time for a little bit of music, but after that we'll be hearing Audrey, Sarah, Manisha and Jonathan discuss the concept of micro-influencers. So for that conversation, do stay tuned to BFM 89.9.
B
beautiful festive moments. BFM 89.9, the business station.
I'm Christine Wong, and you're tuned in to Open for Business here on Enterprise. Now, today, you're listening to the second part of our Enterprise Rocks 2018 panel recap, otherwise known as Rocks Rewind. And for details and to buy tickets for this year's Enterprise Rocks happening on the 14th of March 2019, at Connection at Nexon Sponsor South, do head over to bfm.my/rocks. Now, before the break, we were listening to Audrey Raj speak to Sarah Lian of Super Good, Manisha J of M Talent, and Jonathan Davies of GetCraft Malaysia, all about the power of influencer marketing. So now let's let Audrey continue that discussion.
What kind of segments can you penetrate using influencer marketing that your traditional marketing might not work in?
So I'm the co-founder of Super Good PR as well. And one of our clients is an aesthetic clinic. And one of the findings that my business partner was sharing with me was that when they did market research on how people find out about, let's say, beauty treatments, none of it was on, you know, billboards or anything. It was actually through social media. The random videos you get of the before and after, or a celebrity trying on a specific product and, you know, showing what it's going to look like a couple weeks later. I mean, that is one case in point where you can see things right from the get-go and you don't have to wait for the ad to come up after your favorite TV show, you know, for that 30 seconds of what this potential clinic is going to be. And I think beauty has really penetrated so effectively with social media and also the use of influencers.
I think another definite advantage from traditional media is creativity. When you come to influencer marketing, there's no real police there. So content creators and influencers are given basically the license to be creative with their content. And if you let them, as a client, if they are given direction or guidelines, say, can you come up with this engaging content and talk about my brand in what you do best? They really take that into heart and create exciting content. I mean, when you get beautifully made, creatively made content with your brand, that's amazing. And sometimes if you go to traditional media, if you want to take this type of content there, then maybe, you know, you have some red tape. Maybe foul language or, like, I don't know, certain kind of elements might not be reciprocated the same way. So when it comes to influencer marketing, that sometimes is a pass.
We don't like being hard sold. As consumers now, we get hit by so many adverts that we're immune to it. Is there going to be another banner ad that's going to jump up? I'm not actually aware of these anymore. After all, how many, 15 years of all these different digital advertisings coming through, we're immune to it. We don't notice them anymore. They're less effective. So one of the things about engaging with an influencer is actually we're going to take a very soft sales approach. We're actually going to talk about lifestyle. We're actually going to say, this is our lifestyle. This influencer represents who we are as a brand. They represent our brand story. It's a much softer sales approach, and it's very organic, and it actually means that you get a much better connection with the consumers. It also means that we can start to educate consumers. We can actually get influencers to talk on our behalf, to talk in a more organic way, in a more engaging way. And here in Malaysia, we're starting to do more of it. We're starting to understand that actually we can't just give you a list of the 10 reasons why my product is amazing. Actually, we've got to build a lifestyle. We've got to build our brand story. And influencers are brilliant at doing that. Finding the right ones and engaging with them and working with them is a very good way to build that brand story, to build that brand capability.
Okay, so we're starting to cover what success could look like using influencer marketing. What should success look like when you engage an influencer for your business?
So I think identifying the objective at the beginning is key. So once you know what you want to achieve, engaging an influencer or using any marketing would definitely be beneficial. So you just measure that with what you want to achieve.
And that decision also comes with choosing the right influencer, correct?
That's right. I think expectation setting is pretty important as well. We'll get to know what their objective is, and if they want to know on exposure and brand awareness, then we got to see the reach of the influencer. They might be looking at quantity, like where does this influencer have influence in certain areas, in multiple countries, things like that. Or, for example, if they're looking at conversion, then they can give a promo code, something like affiliate marketing, that could also be incorporated. So again, it goes back to the campaign mechanism and dynamics. So it's not just on a surface level, as many people might imagine, but it goes on a level deeper on how things are measured. The effectiveness is measured. It's still a numbers game. Behind the posts, there's always statistics. There's statistics there, there's reporting there, everything is being backed up. Rather than if it's on a billboard and we can gauge like how many millions of cars are passing, but do you know specifically what time, what day?
Do you feel that micro influencers seem to be the way most SMEs are going today? What has made micro influencers so popular?
It's about tone of voice. So one of the things about big celebrities is we have a very different relationship to them than we might a micro-influencer, someone who's got 10,000 followers. When Victoria Beckham, when she endorses another project, or one of the Kardashians, when they endorse another product, you're thinking, oh, really? How much more money does that person want? Why am I following her? She's just turned into a walking billboard. And I think actually when you take it lower to a micro-influencer, a micro-influencer understands her audience. She really knows what her audience likes. She puts a lot of work into making sure that her content is exactly what's engaging with them. She knows what they like. She knows which posts they like. She knows that if she's going to work with a brand, it better be very close to her. So micro influencers are a fantastic way of actually creating very close connections. One of the issues with it is quite difficult to manage. So you can either work with Kim Kardashian and get 50 million people, but actually to get a similar result, well, you'd probably have to work with sort of 300 different influencers. So again, organizing that, which now with technology is actually possible. So we've run campaigns at GetCraft, which had 200 influencers, all posting within an hour of each other. So that's 200 people, which we can actually organize and get, you know, to post at the same time. Now that reach from all those 200 micro-influencers is actually the equivalent reach that you'd get from just working one or two celebrities. But the result is much, much stronger.
With Super Good Talent, you know, our whole thing is about representing talent that have integrity and that are authentic. And so sometimes when you come across certain influencers, you're thinking, oh, their numbers are not high. This is not where they stand. But really, because of their beliefs or what they stand for or their creative control in terms of their brand and their values, it becomes a great brand alignment for a brand that wants to come in and say, listen, actually, I believe in what you do. And maybe right now we've gotten you at a stage where, you know, you're fairly new to this, or maybe social media isn't exactly the best platform that represents you. But if I put you in a workshop and I have you speak to 1,000 moms, like I know that it's going to hit them in a much greater way, because maybe some of these moms are not all on Facebook at the right time with the numbers that are quantified, which have all the statistics. That maybe you may want to get that just so that you can show your boss, because you're like, look, we hit this many numbers. But really the story or the creativity or the organic, the narrative that has come out of it is going to be a lot more interesting and real and connected.
The great thing about influencer marketing and content marketing generally is you don't actually spend your marketing dollars on content. Actually, you invest in content. Actually, by engaging with an influencer or a content creator, you're actually making an investment. If we did a show of hands and said, who's done adverts with Facebook and Google? I'm sure lots of you would put your hands up. But when we do that, when we do those campaigns on those digital platforms, we're spending our money. We're not actually investing in it. The auction's finished. The transaction's happened. That money is gone. With influencer marketing, with content marketing generally, that content doesn't disappear. That content is still there. That content still makes your SEO performance better in the future, because you now have this content. You have this product that you've actually bought that is ongoing. And that's where influencer marketing, content marketing, that's where it all actually starts to add value over a much longer period of time.
All right, following that point made by Jonathan, we are going to take a very short break. But after that, we will be learning all about the costs of influencers. So do stay tuned to The Rock's Rewind on Open for Business to hear that topic.
Begin Free Malaysia. BFM 89.9, The Business Station.
This is Open for Business and the second part of our three-part Rocks Rewind leading up to Enterprise Rocks 2019 happening 14th of March at Connection at Nexus Bangsar South. I'm Christine Wong and we have been learning from Sarah Lian of Supergood, Manisha J of M Talent and Jonathan Davies of GetCraft Malaysia all about if we need endorsements, KOLs and celebrities. In other words, influencers for our businesses. Now our very own Audrey Raj has been guiding the discussion and now she's going to introduce a new financial element to talk about.
How much does influencer marketing cost? Because we've got a question here. Influencer marketing may cost a lot. How can SMEs afford it?
I would argue that actually we don't know how much influencer marketing costs. At GetCraft, we represent about 550 influencers. So we can actually, and the way we measure cost is actually at a CPV level. So we can actually say, right, what's the cost of working with this influencer? And so the average that we see right now across our marketplace is actually a CPV of about 20 cents.
CPV as in clicks per view?
Cost per view.
Cost per view.
So cost per view of about 25 cents. Now, the reality is that that's probably not particularly accurate because we have some influencers on our marketplace who will charge 30,000 ringgit for a post with a CPV of 2 ringgit. We have others who will charge, I think the lowest we have is about 50 bucks. So I challenge anyone to say 50 bucks is expensive with a CPV of 0.01. Currently, what we're seeing in sort of other platforms, Facebook is doing an average about 16 cents for a CPV. So the idea that influencer marketing is somehow expensive is really not true. Now, how you connect with the influencers and how you find the ones who are not charging 30,000 ringgit, but are charging sort of more affordable prices is really just about, you know, well, visiting our marketplace, actually. That's what it's about.
Another question here. How do you measure ROI for the influencer? Any contract or minimum work requirements set for the engaged influencers? Any management tips?
Let's say there's a travel brand that's interested in engaging one of my talents. So what we'll do is we'll try to extract some of the travel stuff that maybe one of my influencers have done or one of my talents have done. And we try to look at the average of engagements so we can tell through insights what they can look forward to. But sometimes even in an image, let's say on a platform like Instagram, with an image, you know, if the image has a picture of her face, then it may hit a lot more, or if it's just an image of like an area, it may hit a lot less. So it's always very hard to kind of look at that. And so once again, we go back to it. What does success look like to you? What is it that you want to hit? Because there may be other contributing factors that may get your image or video or content piece like doing really well or doing really badly, you know? And there's so many different types of factors. It's hard to sort of manage ROI, essentially. But usually, I think a good base is just taking an average of some of the content that they've already produced.
So we take a slightly different approach. So we talk about guaranteed views. So when we work with a brand and an influencer, what we actually say to the influencer is, right, for this campaign, and yes, beauty campaigns, you tend to get more hits, or compared to something like car insurance. So for this particular campaign, how many views do you guarantee? And actually, we think it's much better to talk about guaranteed views. I'm not talking about someone who's got 6 million followers. I don't care how many followers you have. How many people are you going to guarantee that will see this view? And if we talk about guaranteed views, and we start to put very good benchmarks on it, and measuring ROI is all about measurements and benchmarks. So sometimes it's just about brand awareness, and we're just looking for views, and we can set up a contract and a deal in that way. Sometimes you might actually want to go down a more sort of a CPL, a cost per lead. How many leads am I going to get from this? And in that scenario, what you can actually do is you can say, right, so for every lead that this influencer delivers, this is actually going to be the bonus that you get paid. So there are many different ways to set up an influencer marketing campaign. I think it's really about what you're trying to achieve and then making sure that you reward the influencer for doing it. But having clear benchmarks is sort of the starting point.
A question here from someone who's interested in being an influencer. How can you become an influencer, whether for your own product or and others?
Well, great question. I think we live in a world right now where personal branding is so, so important. Anyone is an influencer. If you're out here representing your business or your brand, you potentially are an opinion leader, at least a key opinion leader in your circle and in your focus or your speciality. So how do you grow that? Well, if you feel very strongly about things that you believe in, so if you see influencers, they talk about, they share stories about things that they are passionate about or what interests them. And how they grow their following is because they're sharing these stories in a very captivating manner. So if you would like to be an influencer or to put yourself out there, then I would advise you strongly to think about what you're passionate about, what you would like to share, what stories you would tell, and look at platforms where you can get people to hear you out. And from there, your following definitely will organically grow.
So I have a 2-3-step process in terms of building yourself as a brand.
Please do share.
So one, establish your brand. So what does your brand look like? What are you talking about? What are you interested in? Who are the people that you feel are safeguarding the industries that you want to be in? So for example, I manage Davina Go, and she's a plant-based lifestyle advocate. In a short form, it means that she's a vegan. So what does she talk about? She talks about, on her own website, she talks about how 5 vegan films you should watch, 3 ways to become a vegan in Malaysia, 2 things you need to think about. So she starts churning out her own content. This is the stuff that she's reading about, she's learning about. And so if you want to be your own influencer or a person of your own brand, you have to think about, what are you spending the most time on right now? Are you reading a ton of gossip blogs because you love entertainment? Or are you reading crazy parenting articles? Or are you always wondering like, what is this, the latest car that's coming in, and how is this engine different from the last year's engine? So you start to talk about and share information. Then after establishing your brand, then you start to find the people that are going to be part of your community. So you shout out about them. We used to manage a race car driver, so I used to say, I want you to find a female race car driver every Wednesday and put that on your platform and tell people that you're celebrating another woman in this field. And you may not know her, and that's okay, but hey, you give her a handout. You know, and so if you are in this, in whatever industry you're in, then you start connecting with people that you respect. What I love about like community building is that you continue to support people that are within your community. Then you start thinking about, hey, what would be my dream? You know, where do I want to go? Let's say for me, I want to go to the Oscars. So it means I need to work with the best kind of directors. And how do I find those directors? And how do I connect with them? Do they have workshops? Do they have these things? And this is really how you start to build your brand. Because then, once you start creating content, you start building your community, then maybe you want to start owning things. So what does owning things mean? Do you have a workshop? Do you have a book? Do you have an open mic night where you want to bring all comedians together and you all just share information? Do you want to have maybe like an audition day where you sit with other people and read their scripts? You know, there's so many different types of things. If you love running, you know, you want to say, hey, every once a week, I'm going to have a running night here from here to here, and we're going to offer free food, but just come. And people are going to start knowing you as that guy that does that running thing. You know, so you start to build all this stuff, and then eventually you realize you have your audience, you have your tribe, and people will start connecting with you. And then that's really how you start. But you don't start by thinking it, you start by doing it.
And that about wraps up our second Rocks Rewind show of three. We were listening to Sarah Leanne of Supergood, Manisha J of M Talent, and Jonathan Davies of Get Craft Malaysia speak to Audrey Raj all about endorsements, KOLs, and celebrities. Do we need them more than ever? For more details about this year's Enterprise Rocks happening on the 14th of March 2019 at Connection at Nexus Bunkster South, and to buy tickets, you can visit bfm.my/rocks. Tune in at 10 a.m. next Thursday for the last Rocks Rewind, where we will be listening to Tan Chung Han lead a discussion with Hui Matthews of Ashby Nimble, Fong Wai Hong of Store Hub, and Sung Kyu Chang, EY ASEAN Customer Leader, about lessons learned and the trends from 2018. If you want to listen to this Rocks Rewind again, or the first Rocks Rewind from last week, you can go ahead and listen to and also download the podcast on our app, available on the Apple App Store and Google Play. You can also listen to us on Spotify and on desktop if you head on over to bfm.my/podcasts. I'm Christine Wong, and coming up next is Tech Talk, so stay tuned to BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.